Got a couple of other little announcements that we need to make. First one is that we've got some people out due to COVID, and we need to pray for them. The Bentleys are out due to COVID. The Olives are out due to COVID. Now, they don't have it, but they've been exposed. And PJ's back today, and he's been out for a while. Where'd PJ go? He may be hiding somewhere back there in the back. But anyway, COVID is going around again, and people are catching it and whatnot, and we've caught it. But we're not contagious anymore, so hug away. There you go. Hug away. So come on, be a part of that. I want to mention one thing. Rendell said that what he forgot, he came down and whispered in my ear what he forgot. He wanted to mention our Tuesday night Bible study class. And it's not this Tuesday, but it's next Tuesday. And it's a study of the Old Testament. It is a study between Judges and Jesus is how the study's going. And it's going to be a really great study. We had our first class last Tuesday. And the next class is next Tuesday. There's PJ right there. Yeah. The next class is the following Tuesday. And if you can be there, we encourage you to be there. We had 21 people there at that class. And so we had a really good group of people together to study the life of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Jerusalem, the Old Testament Israel, between Judges and Jesus is what we're studying. We're studying the life of Jesus Christ on Wednesday nights. Yeah. And if you were here Wednesday night, this lesson that I've got today kind of piggybacks on that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. What you got, Bob?
We need the boys to pick our cards up.
So, boys, some of you boys, jump up there and pick these cards up for us. Really quickly. Yeah. Now, Bob can't do it because he's got gout. Yeah, he's got gout in his left ankle over there, and I keep telling him, I said, I'll kick you in your right ankle. You'll forget about that left ankle. And he won't let me do that, though. And I keep telling him that. So. But we are glad you are with us today. We got several people that are here that haven't been here in a long time, and we're sure glad to see y'all. And glad to have you back with us today. This lesson deals mostly with what you want in life. That's what this lesson is about. What you want in life. And during my teaching days, when I was a educator, I taught a class that was eighth graders, and that class was called Career Orientation. Any of y'all ever have that class? There are actually some people in this congregation that actually had me as their teacher in that class. And what it is an overview of careers that are out there in the world, and they wanted you to get that class when you were in the eighth grade so that when you got into high school, you could be thinking about what kind of career you wanted. And in that class, what we would do is we'd go over and you'd have all these different careers, all these different things out there, and we'd talk about the education level that you had to have. We'd talk about the availability of those jobs that are actually out there in the world today. We'd talk about how much money you make. And I'd go up to these eighth graders and I'd ask these eighth graders, I said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And without a doubt, they all wanted to be professional athletes or actors or actresses. They wanted to be rich and famous. Now, I would try to teach them that being rich and famous would not make you happy. And the response that I got one time from one of these eighth graders, a very sharp young man, he said, "Well, I've always heard that, but I sure would like to try it for a little while." Rich and famous doesn't make you happy. Doesn't make you happy at all. But oftentimes, this is what people seek after. They seek after fame. They seek after wealth. And the reason why this lesson kind of piggybacks on what we talked about Wednesday night is I started out the class on Wednesday night asking this question: where is your treasure? And several of our members said what I call the textbook good Christian answer. And that textbook good Christian answer is, "My treasure is in heaven." Okay, that's good. That's textbook. That's how it should be. But where is it really? And the reason I ask that question in that manner is because where your mind is, what takes up your day, is really where your heart is. It's really where your treasure is. So if you're thinking about your job all day long, then your treasure is in your job. If you're thinking about school all day long, then your treasure is in school. If you're thinking about your husband or wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend all day long, then guess what? Your treasure is with your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. But we are to pray without what? And the reason why we are to pray without ceasing is because our mind should always be on God, the Father, the Creator of all things. Always. And if your mind and your heart is always on Him, you can still work at your job. You can still go to school. You can still have your husband or wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it may be. You may still have all these things, but your mind is always on God. I told you this story one time before. I'll tell you again because it's kind of humorous. But there was a friend of mine one time, he told me, he said he was going out with this girl he was trying to get a date with all these years. He'd been trying for a long time to get her to go out with him. It wasn't me and Kathy. Although I did try for several years to get her to go out with me. But this guy had been trying for a long time to get this girl to go out with him. And she finally said yes. And so back then, guys, we used to open the car doors for girls. I don't know if y'all still do that or not. Yeah, we'd go up to the house and knock on the door, and then the dad would answer and we'd be in trouble, even though we hadn't done anything. But we'd go up to the house and knock on the door and take them to the car, and we'd open the car door for them and they'd sit down. And I asked him, I said, "Well, how did the date go?" He said, "Oh, not very well." I said, "Well, how come?" He said, "Because as soon as she got in the car and she sat down and I closed the door, I noticed that she was praying." He said, "That changed everything that I had planned for the entire evening." I said, "There you go. If your mind is on God, no matter what you're doing, you're going to do it right. If your mind is on God, no matter what you're doing, He's going to guide you. He's going to help you." But realize where our mind needs to be. Our mind needs to be on God. Our hearts need to be on God. Always. And one of my favorite passages in dealing with this subject is right here in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. Now what was happening was that Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist the day before. And what took place was Jesus was walking down the street. And John the Baptist had been telling people that I'm not the one, he said, but there will be one that will come after me. And when John saw Jesus walking down the street, he pointed to Jesus. He said, look, there he goes. And the verses tell us that two of his disciples, John's disciples, started to follow Jesus. Now what's interesting about that is those two disciples later became apostles for Jesus. One of them was John. The other was Andrew. And they followed Jesus. And so as they're following Jesus, this happens in verse 35. Again, the next day, this is after Jesus' baptism, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. In other words, there he goes. This is the one I've been telling you about. This is the one I've been talking about. This is the one who we saw yesterday that the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him as a dove and announced that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So John tells him, said, look, there he goes. And so the two disciples heard John say that and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? Now I want you to think about this in the manner in which both Jesus said to those soon to be apostles and what Jesus is saying to you today. What is it you are seeking? Those eighth graders all wanted to be professional athletes. And I'd ask them a lot of times, I'd say, well, what kind of sport do you want to play? And they say, oh, I want to play football. I said, well, you're 5 feet, 2 inches tall. And you weigh about 85 pounds. I don't think football's in your future. I said, but if you want to play professional football, guess what you got to do? You got to go to college first. So what are you going to major in college? You can't major in football. That doesn't exist. What are you going to major in college? And then they would start thinking, they say, well, you know, I'd kind of like engineering or something like that. I said, okay, let's look at that. Let's look at that. But realize exactly what was taking place with Jesus here is Jesus turned around and saw these two following him. Jesus, knowing all things, knew that they were going to be his apostles. He turned around and asked them, what are you seeking? So my question for you today is exactly the same. What do you seek? What do you seek? In your life today, what is it that you are really going to seek? Folks, most all of us are not going to be millionaires or billionaires. Just not going to happen. Some of you, yeah. Most of us, no. Especially if you try to get into a profession like I did, get into education. Folks, they don't pay teachers well enough to make $1 million. It just doesn't happen. But what is it you really want in life? Think about that for your children. What do you want your children to have in life? I want my children, my son, his wife, my granddaughter to be happy, to be healthy, to have all their needs met, both physical and spiritual. And the greatest gift that I ever gave my son was when I had the honor to baptize him. By far, I could give him no greater gift. The greatest gift was to teach him about Jesus Christ. The greatest gift was to baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. And my son has not disappointed, because he is now becoming a leader in his church in MENA. I'm proud of him. But he's had some struggles. As most all of you know, he's had his left hip replaced at 30 years old. He is trying to go get his right hip replaced. He has a disease called Meniere's, which is completely disabling and makes it to where he can hardly work at all. And before he had this one procedure, he couldn't even drive. He can't stand loud noises. He's dizzy all the time, and he explained it to me one time as like being on a roller coaster and can't get off. He struggles with some things. But I know that his needs are being taken care of, because he has God the Father. Amen. So I'm proud of where he is. I'm proud of what he's doing. I'm proud of the direction he's going. Even though he will have struggles in his life. Now, what do you seek for your children? What do you seek for yourself? This is what I want to look at today. First, we must realize that all of us have physical needs. We do. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to have a roof over our heads. We have to have warm clothes in the winter. We have to have cool clothes in the summer. We have to do all these things because our bodies are such that we need these things. But as it says in Matthew chapter 6, that God already knows that we have need for these things. God speaks about the lilies of the field. They do not sow, neither do they reap. But Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed as one of them. How much more are we than they? How much more are we than they? God knows that we have these physical needs. And one of the things that we learned as teachers was that it's hard to teach a child math and science when the child is hungry. That's why we started a food program in the mornings. That's why we had backpack programs, so that children could take food home with them over the weekend, so that they would have food to eat, because their physical needs needed to be met. We do a great job here. Great job here. Meeting the physical needs of our community. We have a wonderful food pantry. We have a wonderful opportunity to go out and give to our widows and widowers food that they may need, to take care of the needs that they have. And we are doing those things here in this congregation, and I applaud us for doing those things. We need to continue to reach out to meet the physical needs of our community, but do not forget their spiritual needs, because their spiritual needs will last forever. Physical needs only while we're here on this earth. Secondly, we seek security. realize something with that. Jesus said for us not to fear those that can take the life but not the soul. Amen. But rather fear the ones that can take the life, or the one who can take the life and the soul for an eternity. Don't fear man. Fear God. And this verse that I have up here in Romans 8:31 is one of my favorites, because it says, if God is with us, then who can possibly be against us? We are not to fear the things of this earth, because Christ has overcome this earth. We are not to fear for our lives, because our life, our soul, our eternity belongs to God. We seek security. We seek contentment. This is my wife's favorite verse. Realize when Paul wrote this verse, he was in prison, awaiting his execution. He knew he was going to be executed. He knew he was going to die. He knew that he was not going to ever be free again here on this earth. But he said this, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance that he is in. And he goes on to tell us he's been hungry, he's been thirsty, he's had an overabundance, and he's had need. But in all cases, these things have been taken care of because he knew that God had overseen everything and taken care of all of his needs. And therefore, I can be content in whatever the situation is. Be content. We seek joy. And I've got up here on the board the story of Philip and the eunuch, because it's one of my favorite examples of what happens after you are baptized. Folks, when we are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. After we are baptized, we come up out of that water rejoicing. I've had people who have come up out of that water clapping. They were so excited. I've had people come to me and tell me that after they were baptized, they said, I've never felt better. You know why? All the sins of your life have been lifted and are no more. You have a place with God in heaven. You have joy that supersedes all understanding by this world. You cannot find joy in this world the way that we receive joy from God the Father. It does not exist. But because of Him, I can have joy even in times of need, even in times of grief, because I know He is going to take care of me. I know that I have a place with Him in heaven. We seek after peace. But understand, peace comes only from God. You cannot receive peace without Him. There are too many things in this world that happen that cause us a lack of peace. When you're driving down the road and somebody pulls in front of you, a lot of times your lack of peace shows. You know, we used to have a saying in the South that if you can't say something nice about somebody, what do you say? Bless their heart. Yeah. So the next time somebody pulls out in front of you, just look at them and say, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Folks, understand, peace really comes from knowing God. I told you the story one time I was driving down the interstate in Little Rock, 6-lane highway. I was in the middle lane. And I wasn't driving slow, but I wasn't driving fast either. I was driving just a little bit over the speed limit, not much. But as I was going down the road there, right down there in the middle lane, and there weren't any cars on either side of me, on the right side or the left side. It was a Saturday afternoon, and there wasn't much traffic. This car comes running up right behind me, just as hard and as fast as they could come, and then all of a sudden they pulled over into the fast lane, and they get alongside of me, and the driver, y'all remember this story? The driver reaches around his girlfriend and gives me the "your number one" sign. The California howdy. Yeah. Gives me that "your number one" sign. And you know what I did in response? I looked over at him and I go, and I know I made that driver very angry. But his girlfriend began to laugh. So I know that made it worse. Now I want you to know, I took a lot of peace in that. I really did. But I also want you to know this. That person that passed me had no peace. For them to get mad because I was driving down the middle lane and he was going faster than me, when there's no cars on either side, folks, there's no peace there. There's no joy there. There's no contentment there. There's only anger. We want peace. We don't want anger. And here's something else that we want. We want hope. Too many times, as I've told you before, especially during election years, people talk about how I'm going to change things. I'm going to make things so much better. You're going to have everything that you need. Every pot's going to be filled with all the food that you can eat. Your mortgage rates are going to go down. All these things are going to happen. And folks, I tell you, it doesn't happen. But they all say that if you'll vote for me, you'll have all this hope. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't. The only true hope is the hope of eternity with God. Amen. That's where our hope is. And that's why we can stand with joy, with peace, with contentment, is because we have the hope. We have hope of salvation. We have hope of knowledge that we have a place with God in heaven. That's why I can stand before you today with joy. That's why I can stand before you today with contentment. Because no matter what is happening in this world, I still have salvation. That's where my hope is. That's where my happiness is. Notice this. The fruits of the Spirit are this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are these not the things we want in our lives?
Amen.
Don't you want love? Don't you want joy? Don't you want peace? Don't you want patience? Don't you want kindness? Don't you want all these things that are listed up here? And remember what it says, the fruit of the Spirit are these things. When you are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that? There it is. You have hope. You have peace. You have joy. You have love. You have understanding. You have patience. You have all the things that you are looking for in your life. You can find it through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Without Him, there is no hope. There is no peace. There is no joy. And folks, there is no love. Realize exactly what Jesus told us. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Then all these things that you seek after in this life will come to you. Seek God first and receive all the things you seek in this life. Folks, it just takes a step. It just takes a commitment. It just takes your faith to step out and say, I want to be in His kingdom. I want to have that peace. I want to have that joy. I want to have the love that never ceases. If today you need to find that, then I want to give you that opportunity to come and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. Come, while together we stand and sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.